scores! Gilmore scores! The ball, three left!
Off the glass, it looks corner to Aguilla. Aguilla the left circle. Passing to Yell, a shot. Save made by Aguilla. Three rebound, double shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts!
Flames talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson.
All right, what's going on? Happy Friday. It is Friday, September 6th, and we are underway this hour on Flames Talk with Wes Gilbertson of Post Media. It's Pat Steinberg, and it's time for the Sports Drive. Brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Save 40% on a Halo Smart Lock and start unlocking your house right from your phone. Visit Calgary Lock and Safe. com. Mr. Gilbertson, how are you? How are we doing on this Friday?
Not too bad, buddy. And yourself?
Doing all right. Doing all right. Hanging in.
It feels like summer out there. Holy smokes.
You know, I will say that September, October in southern Alberta has its charm. There's no doubt about it. I'll take this all day.
Yeah.
And you know, at some point in one of those months, we're going to have some sort of 42-inch snowfall, but as of right now, quite enjoying the early fall, if that's, or late summer. I'm not sure. We're still in late summer. So,
yeah, we're still in late summer, yeah. And you've really worked to dampen my enthusiasm with the snowfall mention, but it's okay. It's Friday. It's Friday. I can't be deterred.
That's what I like to hear. And here we are on this Friday. By the way, Flames Talk available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. Would love to have you along for the ride on the Flames Talk podcast, which is back for the coming season. After Labor Day means that we are here for the remainder of the 2024-25 season. It's been a difficult week, as we know. Been dealing with a real tragic loss, and it's been a heavy week. I think it's been a heavy week for everybody. So thanks for bearing with us and sticking with us. Hopefully you've been able to. Hopefully we've for at least one person been able to be some sort of cathartic vehicle. Or on the other hand, hopefully when we haven't been talking about what's been a really tragic week, and when we've been talking about some other stuff, hopefully that's given you a little bit of a distraction. So thanks for bearing with us. Thanks for being with us. And you know, we are now less than 2 weeks away from training camp. 1 week from today on this September 6th, though on September 13th, the Flames will be opening up the Young Stars Classic in Penticton, BC. So that's 1 week from when we're talking right now. All three games they'll play against the Canucks, Oilers, and Jets will be here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. We will be in Penticton for Flames Talk on Thursday, Friday of next week, and then Monday of the following week. We'll have lots of exclusive stuff for you from there. And the Young Stars Classic will be interesting this year. I think it'll be more interesting this year than it has been in quite some time, just because of how young the Flames have started to trend. But Wes, we're also less than 2 weeks away from the first on-ice session of training camp with everybody. And I think that one of the big questions many have had has been, is this the roster, or are there any big moves to come before we get to training camp? Or is there still some significant roster construction or deconstruction to happen between now and the first on-ice sessions, or the start of the regular season, or however you want to look at it? And my feel for the last number of weeks, months, has been no, probably not. After July 1st, when they added the veterans they did, Lomberg and Bean and Cooley and Mantha, when they went out and added those four guys in free agency, it felt like, I don't want to say mission accomplished, but it felt like they had done their work. They had made their additions, and the Markstrom trade had been done. The Mangiapane trade had been done. It was kind of like, okay, this is the team we're going to roll with. This is the roster we're going to roll with some slight tweaks, like a Tyson Berry PTO here and there going into training camp. And that's kind of still how I feel as we really start to approach training camp now.
Yeah, I think you and I chatted, I guess, a couple or 3 weeks ago, it probably was. And, you know, the maybe opening that we left was for the possibility of a salary dump type trade, you know, that they could bring in a player with an asset to try to help another team out of cap troubles. And I use the term help loosely, because obviously you're trying to maximize the asset that you're taking as a sweetener for that. But beyond that, I don't think at that point we really saw a lot coming. And as you mentioned, we've heard about the Tyson Berry PTO. I wouldn't be stunned if we heard about another PTO or two of sort of like a lesser known player. And I don't say that having any inside information on that topic. Just I wouldn't be stunned, because there's so many guys looking for jobs still, to see a couple wind up at camp, and probably more those guys that would fit the tweener label, the kind of replacements for Ben Jones, who spent last season in its entirety with the Wranglers. I wouldn't be surprised by something like that.
But yep.
Yeah, I think we've been anticipating this, as you said, since Canada Day, that group that you could look at on paper then was going to be very similar to what we'd see on day one of camp. And it makes sense, doesn't it?
It does. It, you know, let me play this clip from Elliot Friedman, and it, I think, underlines even more why what you just said makes sense, and why not having any real significant things in the holster right now makes sense for the Flames. This is Elliot on the latest 32 Thoughts. 32 Thoughts is back twice a week wherever you get your podcasts, part of the Sportsnet family of podcasts, with a new co-host, Elliot Friedman, and the one and only Sate's finest, Kyle Bukauskas. You know, a Sate grad's got to stay together. KB reps Sate like no others, so that's what I like to see. This is Elliot Friedman on the latest 32 Thoughts on where the Flames are, and specifically when it comes to, let's be honest, there have been some larger names bandied about in the rumor mill over the last number of weeks, and here's Elliot Friedman on that.
There have been some rumors about some of the Flames players. This is what I believe is going on. I think there are some players who have said, who are still there, who have said, look, if this is a complete teardown, I'd like you to think about something else. And Craig Conroy has said, look, last year was a really difficult summer for us. This year has been a much better summer. It's been a lot quieter. I'd like to keep it that way. His plan is to start the year, see how it goes, and then decide what he's going to do with some of these players. He's asked these players to keep an open mind, see how this year goes, and then he'll start looking at what he might need to do or what they want to do. I think those players have said, okay, we will do that. And especially I think now everybody is just like, okay, there's bigger things, more important things. We don't need any different noise. So I think that's where we are with the Flames. Let's start the year. Let's see how it goes. And then we'll talk about, you know, what the future of some of these players might be. But I know Conroy told teams that. I heard he told players that. And I believe that that is his plan. Now, if somebody steps up with a huge offer for something, that may change in everything. But Conroy indicated that was the way he was going to go.
And that kind of jives a little bit more. They get into some of the goaltending conversations, some of the young players. The latest 32 Thoughts, Elliot and Kyle go through off-season news for all 32 teams. I think the podcast is 9.5 hours when it's all said. No, it is a good information jam-packed edition of 32 Thoughts. First one since the offer sheets of Broberg and Holloway. So I encourage you to go take a listen for all the league news and some more on the Flames with KB and Elliot. But, you know, what you hear there, that seems to jive, hey? Like, you don't want to bring more noise to what has already been an extremely noisy last number of years, the Flames. And I know there's a tragedy that is still being worked through by the organization right now, but you know, by and large, this has been a far less distraction-filled offseason than the two prior. This has been one with far less wide-reaching circumstances or consequences for some of the moves. You know, the Tkachuk trade and obviously the Darryl and the Treliving stuff from last summer. And now, yes, there's a Markstrom trade. Yes, there's a Mangiapane trade. And no, those are not irrelevant, but they're not the same type of moves. And as a result, it's been a much more quiet offseason for the Flames this summer. And so you can understand them wanting to keep it that way.
Yeah, and only in the context of last summer would you describe trading your starting goalie and one of your longest tenured players in Mangiapane. Like, only in the context of last summer would you describe that as a quiet summer. And yet it really has been. I think, you know, sometimes I have to remind myself of this, and so I'm sure I'm not alone on that. Like, we have to remember how much wholesale change there's been around this Flames organization in the past 2 years, you know, in light of the awful news about Johnny and Matthew Gaudreau. You know, if you look at Johnny Gaudreau's last season with the Flames, 2021-22, yep. I believe there's four players left from that year. That was two seasons ago, and the only holdovers, and stop me or correct me if I'm missing someone, but would be Michael Backlund, Rasmus Anderson, Blake Coleman, and Dan Vladar.
Those are the four.
And so that's a
and Wes Gilbertson.
And Pat Steinberg, state's second finest. Is that...
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, okay. And I think that's just a reminder of how wholesale the change has been on this roster. And while you can embark on a process like this, and I understand why fans want to know what future assets, and this is part of the excitement about the direction the organization is going. I understand that fans want to know what could we get for this guy and what could we get for this guy, and let's go all in on what our window might be. And I think everyone understands that, and yet you've traded so many pieces that I also see where Craig Conroy is coming from, wanting to let it settle in, valuing the leadership that a Blake Coleman or a Nazem Kadri or a Rasmus Anderson or a Mackenzie Weegar, because I think those are the four names that he was mostly alluding to when he talks about trade rumors.
So say one more time, Raz, Kadri, Weegar,
Coleman,
yeah.
Right? Like those are the guys that we're probably looking at as potential trade chips. I know there was a rumor that came out earlier this week that listed three of those. And again, they're not talking about hockey this week at the Saddle Dome, and they absolutely shouldn't be.
Yeah.
But I understand why Craig Conroy wants to just see how this settles out, see what young players push, see how the veterans carry themselves, see what the offers might be before he makes another move. You don't have to sell off every single asset you have in the summer. You got plenty of time to operate. And, you know, if there's a trade offer that blows him away, I'm sure he'll take it. But I do think, and I've said this a million times on Flames Talk, I think Conroy's patience has been such an asset.
Yep.
And this is just another example of it.
Well, and yeah, of course, if something comes across his desk and a team's like, hey, player X, we are willing to give up this haul for because we really, really want him. Well, then, yeah, I think that you make that trade. But I don't think Conroy and I think Elliot kind of alluded to it in the clip we played. I don't think Conroy is going around to different teams saying, what will you give me for veteran X? What could we get for veteran Y? I don't think that's the case at all, because I honestly think one of the most important things the Flames are trying to do here is go into training camp and determine who is going to be part of this thing and who wants to be part of this thing. Does Mackenzie Weegar, who has 7 years left on his deal, does he want to be a part of the solution? Everything Mackenzie has said publicly would point to yes. Even some of the things that I have heard that have not been said in front of microphones point the same way, that, yeah, Uyghur's in. He wants to be a part of bringing this team
right
going forward. Nazem Kadri was asked three or four point-blank questions on locker cleanout day and said, yes, I want to be a part of this solution. And so, you know, Rasmus Anderson's got only a little bit of time left on his contract. Blake Coleman's contract is now closer to expiring than at the beginning. So maybe that's a little bit different. But I think you want to See what type of culture you can build in that locker room. See how certain veterans take being leaders and take kind of being front of the bus guys in terms of getting this team to from point A to point B into a better place. And then once you have a little bit of a better idea of that, as things get built in training camp and the preseason and early regular season, then you, as Elliot said, can start to maybe make some more decisions and see how these players, these veterans, what if Rasmus Andersson right now, I'll just use his name as an example, because I think we all agree he's probably the, if they were to make a trade, he'd be the guy that would get the most interest. He's also the guy in line for the largest raise. And of this group, he's the youngest of them. So say that Rasmus Andersson right now is leaning more towards, I don't know. I don't know if I want to be part of a rebuild. You know, maybe a trade would be the best thing for me. Don't know if I'm going to re-sign long-term. What if he comes in and the infusion of youth and, you know, Zane Parekh here and a couple of forwards there, and all of a sudden he's feeling like, you know what? I think this thing could be rectified in a few years. I don't want to be a part of that. I want to be a leader. I want to maybe be in line for the captaincy when it's time for this team to move into a new building, so on and so forth. Gives room for some of the players to maybe get a feel on things and where they want to go as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And you don't have to look very far for the reminders of just how important these guys are in ushering in that next generation of Calgary Flames. You know, would we be sitting here having the same conversations about Connor Zary and Martin Pospisil if they didn't have Nazem Kadri yeah, to show them the ropes last year? Hey, maybe we would, but I sort of doubt it. Like, both of those guys will tell you that he played such a vital role in their immediate success, in their fairly rapid comfort level, in all those things. Like, they'll point to Nazem Kadri and say, man, that guy was so important for me. And I know 5 years from now, if you're talking to either of those guys, they'll be saying the same thing. I was so lucky to play with Nazem Kadri in my first season. You know, if you look at anyone essentially who emerged in the past few seasons on the Flames blue line, and I'm thinking specifically of Oliver Shillington, even though he's not on the roster anymore. Look at Chris Tanev's impact on him, right? Look at the importance. And quite frankly, and I know they're not the same player and they're not the same age, but can Rasmus Andersson or Mackenzie Weegar have a similar impact on a young defenseman? I absolutely think so.
Yep.
I really do believe that. If you're looking at Jacob Pelche or you're looking at Matt Coronato in training camp as they try to prove that they should be full-time NHLers, you don't think Blake Coleman is the first guy that they're watching? You don't think Ryan Huska or one of his assistants doesn't say to those kids, hey, do exactly what Blake Coleman does, not just on the ice, but especially off the ice. I just think, yeah, there's a rush to, you know, treat it like a foreclosure on a home, and how much can we get for every single one of the chairs, or, you know, can we sell all the paintings,
yeah,
right? These guys are still going to play a vital role. And so what Elliot was talking about today, and I know you and I, our jaws didn't drop when we heard that clip, it just makes perfect sense. Like, you need some of these guys, because if you don't have them, you're immediately looking for them.
And I also think, Kadri's coming off an incredible year, but what's 33 years old? So I think you want to see how Kadri starts the season. And I think that might help you if trading Nazem is the way that it's going to end up going. Well, maybe showing that, hey, last season is very much repeatable for another team. Like, okay, look, you know, Kadri's not messing around. We think he'd be a great addition. You know, a little bit different with Coleman, just because I think you know exactly what he's going to bring, even though he's also over the age of 30. Same, I think, with Weegar. The thing with Weegar is that 7 years left on the deal, and that's going to make it a little bit more cumbersome to move.
Right.
And then Rasmus Anderson's the youngest of the group, and I think would be the easiest one to move if you wanted to. But again,
because that deal is a bargain.
It's been, and I think we knew it was going to be a bargain the day he signed it, and mm-hmm. it's turned into exactly what I think most of us thought it was going to look like. And I think you'll be able to move that contract with relative ease if it turns into a situation where it's become pretty clear that he's not going to be a part of this long term. But you don't need to make those decisions now. You can wait until next offseason. You can wait until December. You can wait until the deadline. And I think there's lots of wisdom to doing that as well.
The other part of this, you know, the flip side of this is that NHL general managers are pretty savvy by nature, right? And so you don't think that Craig Conroy gets calls from NHL GMs saying, oh, geez, Craig, you're probably looking to move Rasmus Anderson, and we could help you out there. You know, here's a low ball offer for your best defenseman and your leading minute guy. You don't think that other GMs are lining up to try to take advantage of the fact that, you know, there's rumors that some of these other guys might follow their buddies out of town, that some of these other guys might want to play for a contender? Like, it just... there's not a single, you can kind of, as I talk with my hands, you can look at this thing from Welcome every single angle, and there's no reason to rush into it.
Yep.
And there might not be, and I know this isn't what everyone wants to hear, but there might not be a reason to make some of these trades, period. I do think that these are important players, and yes, maybe you're leaving a pick or a prospect on the table at some point, but I put a lot of stock in what Craig Conroy has told us many times about not letting that losing mentality seep in, not being okay with, you know, not winning any games, right? We talked, we did our hot takes a couple weeks ago, and someone said, I think they're going 26-50, and they can't look at that and say, we'd be fine with that.
Yeah.
That's how you become the sort of mess that the Buffalo Sabres have been for a long time.
Or the Edmonton Oilers were until they got 97.
Got a generational player. Yeah, absolutely. And so I think Craig Conroy is right to really be cautious about just sending every single one of those veterans out the door and letting the kids fend for themselves, because I don't think, while yeah, you could get a pick here or a prospect here, I just don't think you'd be happy with the outcome.
A few texts, 960, 960. Can we sneak into the playoffs with this roster, this text says? I think to be perfectly honest with you, on a show called Flames Talk, I think that's a long shot. I don't think the playoffs are something that I am going to be anticipating, but I didn't anticipate it a decade ago, and there they were. And those things are a lot of fun, and I would love for that to be the case. But no, I think my expectation standings-wise, results-wise, will be low going into this season, just based on some of the changes that have been made and the way that the Flames are building for the future. Part of that comes with it a few years where maybe the playoffs aren't part of the picture.
Yeah, if we're talking about, you know, if we're sitting here in April talking about a playoff run or a playoff push, then either Ryan Huska's winning the Jack Adams, somebody's winning the Vezina, or maybe both. Getting this group into the playoffs would take terrific goaltending, I think. Certainly, it would take some moves as they started to put themselves in position. It would be a blast to cover. It'd be fun to talk about. It'd be, you know, that 14-15 season that you just referred to and that we've talked about so often in our tributes to Johnny Gaudreau. You know, that's the most fun I've had covering a hockey team, because it was just such an unexpected ride. You know, could these Flames deliver that? Hey, it'd be a hell of a story, but, you know, I wouldn't bet on it.
Yeah. Do you think that some of these veterans have been around long enough to know that just because they leave the Flames doesn't mean they're going to have a successful season? Perhaps. I mean, I think the grass isn't always greener type thing. And I think Michael Backlund is a, a real good example of a guy who thought about it and realized that, you know, maybe the grass wouldn't be greener on the other side. And all every indication that, that Bax has given is that he's quite at peace with his decision to stay, even though he didn't go and chase a Stanley Cup. He was eyes wide open when he signed that contract a little less than a year ago.
Well, and if you go look at the teams with cap space, right? Like, you'd need some salary cap space to take on one of these veterans that we're talking about. You know, you go look at the list of teams that have some financial wiggle room, and we're not talking about a who's who of cup contenders.
No.
So,
agreed.
You know, you're trying to figure out, okay, well, that team's strapped and that team's strapped and that team's strapped. If I do go into Craig's office and say, I got to get out of here, how high are the chances that I end up in a similar situation?
And this says they'll have a team where everyone is actually fighting for something, which I do think there's something to that, that there'll be a healthy amount of competition at all positions this year because of how few established, no questions asked veterans there are on the roster.
Yeah, and even the established, no questions asked veterans, like, you're trying to figure out exactly where they fit. I don't think going... And this is a debate we could have a whole nother segment on, and so maybe we should write it down. Who's going to be the first line for this team?
Yeah.
Right? Who is going to be the top defense pair? And obviously, who's going to be the starting goalie? So, you know, even those guys that we talked about that might see greener grass somewhere, they've got plenty to play for here.
Yep. It's Pat and Wes on Flames Talk this Friday, and from the Golden Arches comes the Big Arch, the biggest bite on the menu, now available at participating McDonald's restaurants. 2-pound, 100% Canadian beef patties with no artificial preservatives or flavors, sourced from Canadian ranches and farms. The Big Arch is perfectly layered with 3 slices of white processed cheese, crispy onions, pickles, lettuce, slivered onions, and a new tangy delicious Big Arch sauce. It's more McDonald's to love. Try the Big Arch today.
This is Flames Talk. Join the conversation at 960-960. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
When I found out about this news about, I don't know, it was about 2 weeks ago, that got the news about who the new television play-by-play voice of the Calgary Flames is going to be. It was officially announced last Monday, and when I heard the name, John Abbott, I was like, you gotta be kidding me. Abs is coming to Calgary? Indeed he is. Welcome back to Flames Talk. Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson along with you, and now the new television play-by-play voice of the Calgary Flames on Sportsnet and Sportsnet West. John Abbott joins the program on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Abs, we weren't here last week, so we couldn't bring you on, but we figured we needed to bring you on before the season started on Flames Talk. How we doing, buddy?
Oh, I'm excited to see you in the stands, Pat and Wes. I cannot wait to make this a regular thing. And second best is getting on Flames Talk. I've been waiting to join you on here, too. So I'm excited. I'm fired up. I'm ready to get through preseason and into October.
Where do we find you right now, by the way? Because you're not in Calgary as of yet.
I'm not. I would love to be able to do everything all at once. And normally that would be my type of personality, but we are finishing some family commitments that we had before packing the van next week, and I will be driving out to Calgary next week. So I'm actually in beautiful North Bay on Lake Nipissing with my youngest brother-in-law and his family. You know, won't get the chance to see them quite as regularly, so trying to be able to catch up with as many as we can and then get excited and drive out next week and be there for the start of training camp. So we are, we're almost at that time.
John, if I could just get a gripe out of the way early here, I've been sort of quietly working for a while to establish Abs as my own nickname around the rink. It's not really catching, but if you notice me sort of letting myself go, this season, that is all your fault. Abs is now out the window, and you can have it.
Well, in last name only, usually when I tell people. So If you're expecting a poster boy on the broadcast team, that is not going to be the case. So I got to get up to snuff. I'm hitting the big 40 in January. But, yeah, we are not I am not carved out of stone in the six-pack category, just in last name only. And you know what? I'm happy we're at the nickname stage already. That's a good sign.
Boys, everybody has abs. It just depends how visible they are. That's all.
That's right. Mine are hibernating.
Which, by the way, you're talking to a couple of fellow millennials. Wes is a May 84?
Yeah,
May 84.
Just past 40.
October 84, so I'm less than a month away from the big 4-0, and we've got a January 83, which makes you an honorary 1984 birth year as well. I'm sorry, 1985.
I love it.
But you are an honorary 1984.
Well, we got to get together then, don't we? That's what it sounds like.
I think so.
Yeah?
Yep, I think so.
Misery loves company.
We can all complain about our hangovers the next day.
Yeah, they all of a sudden they're like, I used to bounce back like a pro, and now I'm like, what is this headache? Why am I tired for 2 days?
I never should have had that second beer last night.
Yeah, you're telling me two, and
and heaven forbid draft beer.
Yeah,
if it's draft beer, it is like I have a headache for 6 weeks. It feels like the next day if it's like more than two pints. From a tap. So apparently this is a universal problem.
I'll tell you what, boys. I am number one at poking fun of myself, so we're going to get along real well. That's good.
Okay, so you're doing the drive from Ontario out here. So you'll be here in time for training camp. Just how excited are you to be coming back out west?
I can't wait. It is, it's more of the packing up the house in Ontario that's slowing me down. Otherwise, I would be out there already. But, those are things you have to take care of to try and make the move in a short amount of time. And if I didn't have to wait, I wouldn't. Our family is so excited to get out there, and I'm going to precede them by just a little bit to get to camp in time. And then it's going to be for real for me. It's just that sort of anticipation of the season around the corner and being able to get into Calgary and get into Alberta. And then once camp starts, to be able to show up at the rink and, really live it out day to day is just something I've been looking forward to ever since I was, blessed with the opportunity to carry the torch from Rick Ball and be the Sportsnet portion on TV for the broadcast. It's just a thrill, and I cannot wait to get going and really sink my teeth into Calgary with all the Flames fans, and then into the team as well, and just be all encompassing in that regard.
Okay, so are you originally an Ontario guy?
Originally an Ontario guy, don't hold that against me, but the Western roots. All three of our kids are born in the West.
Okay.
So it's almost like we've been adopted once, and you know what? Now it's going to be home officially. So we're very, very thankful.
How long were you out west? Obviously, you spent some time as the radio voice of the Vancouver Canucks before heading back out east, and been doing some Senators stuff and all over the NHL in Ontario the last number of years. How long in total were you out west for before moving back?
We were almost 8 years. In British Columbia, all said and done, and a lot of the ending was out of our control in that sense. But you know what? You learn to live with the ebbs and flows of the business, and you become quite thankful in retrospect for what it teaches you and how good the people are in our business. I'm talking to two of my favorites right now, and being able to have opportunities come out of that, and that's really what it was at that part of the arch of my career. And if it wasn't for that opportunity, I wouldn't be able to move into a position where I would be blessed to be able to get into the Calgary and Sportsnet families, and super grateful for that. So it's all part of a journey, and you look at the positives and what you can take out of it, and the ending in BC wasn't so great with the station folding, but out of it came lots of good. So that's the way I choose to look at it.
Which, by the way, that I remember that day vividly. It was a dark day in our industry that day. So we were all feeling your pain that day for sure. We're chatting with John Abbott. He is the new television play-by-play voice of the Calgary Flames on Sportsnet and Sportsnet West. Joining us here on Flames Talk, it's Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson on this Friday program.
John, I know I'll be asking you to repeat yourself since you and I have chatted about this and you've talked about it, but I do think it's really interesting. I'm sure our listeners would love to hear it. So one of your experiences during your time in Vancouver was covering that first-round playoff series between the Flames and Canucks in 2015, and we've chatted a little bit about that season, obviously, with the tragic news this week about Johnny Gaudreau. But I've heard you talk about what maybe that sort of revealed to you about the market that will now be home here in Calgary. Could you share some of that with us?
Well, absolutely. And, you know, I was just waiting to once again pay my respects to the Gaudreau family and just say how wonderful it is to see the sea of red and Flames fans show their support and respect. Quite overwhelming to see the turnout for the Candlelight Vigil and then the 13 days of celebration of life for Johnny and Matthew. And, you know, that to me, without trying to get too emotional about it, was something I'd heard from everybody, from the guys I knew that lived in the city, from talking to some of you once getting job and just hearing how great the Calgary community was. And, you know, that came to life in the most tragic of circumstances, but you really find out a lot about people, I think, when they're faced with adversity and when their backs are against the wall and when people need to be picked up. And so I just want to go out and once again, as everybody stated, just recognize the tremendous show of support from Flames fans, because that's a very special community and special group that I feel lucky to be attached to in a small way. And, you know, that's what excites me about going there, preceding the events that would eventually follow up. But, you know, my memories of the Saddle Dome, you're right, are coming in the opposition broadcast booth and just realizing what an awesome place it is to call a hockey game and how great the fans are and the type of emotion that the team can feed off of when the fans are at their loudest. And, you know, I think in the short window I had to experience playoff hockey while with Vancouver, you know, that really came to light. Is, you know, the fans helped change that series, and, you know, the team was not to be counted out. And I think it's a bit of a parallel to where we're getting into in the next couple of years. You know, this is a team not to be looked past and a team that's going to be playing hard and competitive every night. So I'm looking forward to the Saddle Dome and the crowds there. And it really doesn't get much better for a play-by-play guy than being right on top of it. So I'm anxious to see the new building in completion like everyone else, but I'm also very excited to be part of the Saddle Dome and sending it off right, because that, for me, that's one of the best vantage points in the National Hockey League, and I can't wait to get there.
Give us a little bit of insight into what it's like as you prepare to become the play-by-play voice of a new team. Obviously, you know, you've followed the league, you've called games at the Saddle Dome or called Flames games, but when it becomes your job full-time, and, you know, as an aside, you're probably looking to get out of packing boxes for a few minutes. What's the prep work look like?
Well, it's a good excuse. That's right, not to pack boxes for a bit. So I should probably actually do a little bit more of that, considering the time frame. But I love it. That is part of the passion of what we do, isn't it, gentlemen? I mean, we have different titles, maybe, and different roles within our business and being broadcasters. But it kind of all boils down to the same thing: is that we really love the game. We really love what we do for a job. And, you know, we're committed to trying to do the best we can through enjoying every part of it. And that's how I look at it. That's how I feel about it. And so I'm a bit of a hockey DB and YouTube nerd anyway. It's pretty easy to go down a rabbit hole. So I've enjoyed going back and just remembering different moments that I had etched in my mind, but, you know, wanted to relive again. And so that Fleury goal where he's sliding down, I mean, I don't even have to say anything, really. Everybody can recall that. And the Mike Smith and the Cam Talbot fight at center ice, and just some of the other fun, big moments along the way, you know, whether it's the Battle of Alberta or whether it's just the timeline of Flames hockey. And of course, 89 is a special year in Lanny McDonald. So I've been doing a lot of watching and, you know, a lot of digging, and it's going to continue. You know, thankfully we can take the young stars in and get some good notes there on the prospects, and enjoy the work of both of you. So yeah, it's really just a plethora of digging, I guess, and just consuming a lot of information and just enjoying every moment of that. And then, you know, I get to work with one of the best in Kelly Rudy. So really looking forward to jumping in with him and Greg Mellon and Ryan Leslie, and, you know, finding some chemistry and telling some stories and having a good time on the television side, and hopefully everybody watching too.
That is one of the more professionally explained excuses I've ever heard to watch goalie fights on YouTube. I love it.
You know, I'm assuming you guys are the same way. You go looking for something and then you get sidetracked.
Rabbit
and you
hole.
Just keep going.
Yeah.
And it's so great. And yet you remember at some point the fact that you weren't really looking for that to start with, and you got to double back and get back to your notes. But I love those moments, and that one particularly stands out because of both guys playing on both sides of it, I don't think there's been that many, if another example of that in that position going head to head at center ice.
We're chatting with John Abbott. He is the new television play-by-play voice of the Flames on Sportsnet, joining us here on Flames Talk. Just a couple more, Abs. And just you kind of mentioned it a little bit earlier, but when you take a look at this group, when you take a look at this team, what excites you about the team that you're going to be calling on the ice?
Well, I'm really looking forward to going top to bottom, to be honest with you, because I'm a bit of a fresh set of eyes coming out of last season, and you know the bright spots, you know some of the mile markers along the way, and even game 82, like it was right down to the last game of the season against the Sharks, and there was moments in that game that you know will pave the way for some players moving forward into this season. You know, whether it's Dustin Wolf, whether it's Klapka, Pospisil, so it's been really fun to watch from afar. Zary's in that list as well. And I think it's going to be a pretty competitive camp. That's what I would expect, you know, considering that not every spot is carved out. There's enough when you consider the youthful competitiveness, you know, vying for different positions. You can go to the right side, I think, specifically and zero in and magnify that. But then you look at who's playing down the middle as well, and maybe on the back end, what complements a defensive pairing now that the dust has kind of settled and there's a chance to solidify, you know, two new names playing together, or two names that have been together at different times but taking on bigger roles together. So, you know, I'm excited at the opportunity, and I would hazard a guess that kind of sums up this training camp for the Calgary Flames. We know the staples. We know the guys that are going to bring everybody into the fight, but there is plenty of opportunity out there for others.
Well, and last one, and one of the things that excites me about the next few years is that for the first time for me covering this team for, you know, the last decade and a half or so, it feels like you're on the ground floor of something. Like, it feels like you're covering a team that is building towards something, and it's kind of neat to be at the, I know they're not tearing it down to the studs, but it still feels like you're at the base level of something that they're going to try to build into a whole lot more. And that's really exciting on this front. I'm curious if that plays into it for you as well.
It is. And it's from my vantage point, it really just fits in with what I'm most excited about. And that's growing, you know, being part of Calgary, being part of the community, being, you know, a small part of coverage for the hockey team with everybody else involved, and, you know, just being able to grow with where this club is headed and where the fans are headed with them. And, So it kind of all lines up for me, and I'm really excited about that. So I would certainly echo that. And, you know, I think it is a group that maybe gets there a little bit quicker than others expected. I also think it's they're going to be a tough out. So if there's teams out there that are potentially sizing up opponents, you know, I just don't think Calgary on most nights are going to let their foot off the gas. I think it's going to be a team that works hard every night, and I think that's what the fans expect and what the fans demand. So I am looking forward to the timeline of this, and you know, it kind of resembles a little bit me coming in at this point and just wanted to be able to grow with the team and the community at the same time. So yeah, that's awesome. That's a big reason why I can't wait.
And as Wes said a little earlier, you know how like kids these days, they never dealt with rotary phones. Never dealt with like the television antenna. Like I went to broadcast school. I know how to do I can splice tape. Like I learned in the analog world. So you're kind of, you get the Scotiabank Saddle Dome, which is kind of like the analog of
the reel to reel.
Yeah, it's the reel to reel, and you'll work at the Saddle Dome, and it's an incredible building that is close to all of our hearts. And then you'll move into Scotia Place and be like, oh, look at that. I got both. And you'll appreciate the Saddle Dome, but also you'll appreciate the new building. So it's good timing in that regard too.
It is. And I am very excited for what's to come. I'm also just very honored to be able to be part of the closing seasons of the Saddle Dome. So you're right. The history is not lost on me. When you can consider Peter Marr and Ed Whalen, and other great names, Labardius and Rick Ball and others that have come through the broadcast booth, Roger Millions, you know, you recognize the people that have come before you, and they help set the bar. You want to meet and exceed that and enjoy it. And so I'm looking forward to that. And then of course, you know, the new venue, the new arena is what everybody's waiting for. And, you know, some would say long overdue, but you can't get there without paying homage to where you came from. So I think it all fits out perfectly, and cannot wait for this season to start and the puck to drop. And, you know, I'm the happiest guy to drive from Ontario to Alberta in a minivan, the loser cruiser, to get there for the opening part of training camp on the 19th.
Well, drive safe, hey, and we will see you out here in a couple of weeks, and we'll have to go for a beer once you're here. Good to hear from you, Abs. Awesome to know you're joining the Flames family. We'll see you out here soon, hey.
Fellas, I can't wait to see you in person. Thanks for humoring me with a couple of moments today, and I'm really looking forward to spending this season with you and getting going and catching up and having fun. So thanks for starting it off.
Drive safe. Be well, hey.
Thanks, boys.
Thanks, John.
It's John Abbott. He is the new television play-by-play voice of the Calgary Flames on Sportsnet and Sportsnet West. Joining us here on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline, the best pizza, pasta, steaks, and ribs since 1975. Dine in at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast or call them at 403-248-3344 for pickup or delivery. Telling you, Wes, the millennials are taking over. I'm just saying. 1984, 1984, Abs, 1985, Danny Austin, 1984.
Okay. Yeah, still, I don't like being called a millennial.
Would you rather be called a boomer?
I'll get back to you on Monday.
Not like there's anything wrong with either. I'm just saying, would you? It is what you are. You are a full-blooded millennial, my friend.
Luckily, I think we have to go to break.
It's a pleasure doing business with you all week, my millennial friend. in all seriousness, and to wrap things up on a somewhat somber note, just because it has been a somber week. Thanks for hanging out during a heavy week. I know it has not been easy on you, so thanks for hanging out with us and helping us all work through what has been just a really, really messed up week.
Yeah, well, and thanks to everybody for sharing some memories with us. You know, Calgary's really shown how much we should all be proud of this city. this week. And so thanks to everyone who helped us through it as well.
Yep, 100%. Thanks to all the texts, all the well wishes. And, you know, we're not looking for well wishes, but really appreciate all the, hey, hope you're doing all right and that type of stuff. I hope as if you're part of the Flames family, if you are a Flames fan, a hockey fan, whatever, it's been a super messed up week. So I hope everybody is doing as okay as can be, all circumstances considered. That'll start to wrap us up this hour. Wes on Twitter at Wes Gilbertson. Thanks to Shan and Connor, our producers this hour. And this hour has been the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Save 40% on a Halo Smart Lock and start unlocking your house right from your phone. Visit CalgaryLockandSafe.com.